From the Lynn DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of March, 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett at AgMarket.net. He'll come to us from Orlando in the Commodity Classic today. And then we'll hear the presentation that Joanna Colucci made about South American production agriculture during the All-Day Ag Outlook, all on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today finished down 14 cents at $6.11.5. July down 12 and a quarter at $6.01.75. In December, new crop at $5.53.5, down 4.5 cents. July beans at $14.98.75, 7.5 lower. November new crop 11.5 lower at $13.60. And soft red winter wheat down 21.75 cents. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net now joins us from the Commodity Classic in Orlando, where he presented with Ed Ussett of University of Minnesota for the early riser session at 6:30 a.m. How was that, and how have farmers taken to the trade today?
You know, the early riser was fantastic. We had a huge crowd. It's the first official day of the show, and I know a lot of folks come in maybe on Wednesday to register, but there's a lot of people coming into our session still at 7:20 or 7:30, because the registration was actually didn't start until 6:45. So we ended up with a full room, which was pretty cool. But I'll tell you, the mood definitely changed a little bit, of course, from last year. I think there's a lot of concern after what you would call a somewhat friendly report as far as soybeans were concerned. You know, didn't really necessarily translate to any enthusiasm on the board. I mean, we had a good run right after the market closed, but then today we ran again, and both yesterday and today you closed the market without a whole lot of fanfare.
Well, I wonder what the problem in the wheat market is. It looks like that's leading things down, followed by corn. Have you got an idea?
There's some whispers, you know, of some sort of a trade agreement, but, you know, I don't know, to be honest with you, Todd. You haven't seen really anything major come across the wire. That's the only thing that we can think of. I do think whenever you look at the feed grain situation, both corn and wheat, it certainly seems like there's a fair amount of folks coming in here and not really wanting to own this. Funds are losing interest in being long. And with that being the case, I'll tell you what, that's not a good sign. Now, you look at Argentine corn production going down 7 million tons to 40. I'll tell you what, it's a different situation. Total world production down 68.5 million tons on the year. That's just an incredible amount of corn. And so, yeah, you can say demand's going to go down. That's what typically happens whenever we get big high prices. But at the same time, I think they're maybe asking for a bit much.
Do you believe that today's trade was mostly funds getting out, algorithms, and black boxes just following through?
Yeah, I do think that, you know, essentially there's a whole host of those things going on. In my opinion, I think the funds have lost interest in buying commodities right now. I'm not saying they're going to go short by any means, but I do think that they feel like maybe the story's old. Yes, we held the prices for months and months, but then whenever you broke out of that tight range that you were in here 2 weeks ago, it's been really hard to find buyers ever since. So the corn market's just been awfully resilient. The bean market's been awfully resilient at times. But by all means, right now, it sure looks like the interest in owning corn isn't near what it was for several months in a row.
How worried are the farmers that you've been talking to?
Pretty worried. You know, I will say this. I did the early riser, and then I told folks I'd be speaking again at the KSIH booth. They were going to have me come in and make a presentation at 11:30, and we had people standing everywhere, and I had a lot of good questions afterwards. But, you know, one of the main questions people were asking was, do you think basis can do a lot of the work if the futures market continues to fall? And, you know, that's definitely a possibility, but at the same time, I don't expect anybody's basis level to improve 10 to 15 cents after the debacle we saw here today. So that's a little bit concerning. I think you're going to have to get out a little bit farther. You know, I'm going to say closer to spring planting time frame before you really have the opportunity for basis to improve to a substantial level. I do think a lot of ownership has already been originated by these buyers over the last several months, and I don't really look for anybody to push really, really hard, you know, until you get maybe into May, early June.
Yeah, so it's the farmers asking about old crop they still have in storage in this case, right?
And there's a lot of that, and of course, there's a lot of folks saying, you know, these corn, you know, you're already clear down here, close to 550. it wasn't so long ago, you know, we were trading 595. I mean, literally a couple weeks ago. So it's been a huge drop in prices. And I think a lot of folks are sitting here looking at, hey, I don't know that I can make money down here at this level. And I totally get that. I understand it. But at the same time, you got to understand, I'd rather make a little bit of money than lose money. And so we, again, have to be cautious to make too many assumptions here. I still want to lock in a worst-case scenario, and if a guy wants to stay long in some facet, you can sure do so a heck of a lot cheaper after this drop in prices.
Would you scale in, sell new crop at this point to cover cost if you haven't, so every dime or so or something like that?
You know, Todd, we're actually sitting on about 70% of some sort of coverage. A lot of this is with some sort of a flexible strategy, but at the same time, we've got a lot of coverage on. If I didn't have enough coverage on, by all means, I would take a strong look at the fact that, am I able to make money here? You know, what's my cost structure look like? Because if you take 554 corn, which is where we settled at or where we closed at, and you take a normal basis here in Central Illinois, you're all the way down at 520. And a lot of break-evens are not far from 520. So you can still step in and HDA some grain. It's not the, maybe it's not the, you know, the coolest move to make, or doesn't make you feel great. But at the same time, if you're locking in a worst-case scenario of a little bit above break-even, you have to pay yourself, of course. That's not a bad place to be, especially if you can step in after selling that HDA and then maybe buy yourself some calls or a call spread.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us from Orlando.
Absolutely, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. That is Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. Starting today, we'll hear portions of the presentations made at the All Day Ag Outlook. We'll begin with Joanna Colucci, who is a postdoctorate in the Ag Econ Department at the University of Illinois. She's been following up for the past 3 years with Gary Schnitke and others some of the changes that have been happening in Brazil. She's also a native of that country, and we asked her to present some of the numbers as they were related to this year's production, and then she took some questions from the audience. Here's Joanna Colucci.
Let's start with Brazil. The Brazilian harvest is underway, and it's expected to supply the market over the next few months. Around 44% of the soybean area was harvested by last week, compared with 52% a year ago. The delay was caused by the constant rains in the region. And while there is rain in the center-west a lot, there is a lack of rain in southern Brazil, especially in Rio Grande do Sul. Despite the losses in the south of Brazil, yield gains in the center-west should offset them. In Mato Grosso, for example, the country's largest producing state, yields have been good so far, around 60 bushels per acre on average. And like Todd said, the numbers from CONAB will release this Thursday. So we have some updates regarding that.
Let me step in here for just a moment with an update of those numbers as they were released in the month of March. USDA pegged its number at 153 million metric tons of total production of soybean out of Brazil during its World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate. A day later, CONAB released its numbers. They had been 153 in the month of February. They lowered it to 151.4 million metric tons. Now that's down 54 million bushels out of a total of 5.564 billion bushels of soybean production in Brazil. Their ending stocks will be really small, down 10 million bushels this month at 202 million bushels left in the bin. Their largest ending stocks figure in recent years was in 2020-21 at 325 million bushels. The corn numbers, however, were not changed from CONAB this month, and USDA agrees with them, both setting total production of corn at 125 million metric tons. That is about 4.9 billion bushels. And the number from CONAB, while roughly that 125 million metric tons, was up actually 37 million bushels in this last month. Now let's return to Joanna Colucci from the University of Illinois and her presentation at the All Day Ag Outlook.
In February CONAB report, Brazil's soybean crop was projected at 5.6 billion bushels, the largest on on the record, but a little bit below previous expectations. This amount represents an increase of 22% compared to the last season when we had a record. Let's talk now about corn. The production in Brazil is projected to reach 4.9 billion bushels. It is a new record that represents an increase of 10% compared to last season. This amount refers to the total corn production in Brazil, including first, second, and third crops. Right now, the first crop is being harvested in the south and southeast. Meanwhile, the second corn crop, the safrinha, little harvest in Portuguese, is being planted in the center west right after the soybean harvest. Around 64% of the safrinha area was planted by last week, compared 75% a year ago. The ideal window for planting the safrinha crop has now closed for at least 30% of the area to be planted in Brazil. This does not mean yield reductions necessarily, but it does increase the chances that crop will face yield reducing weather, such as drines and frosts. So this year, especially, there is a huge expectation around the safrinha crop in Brazil, when the country has a chance to surpass the United States as a major corn exporter. USDA is estimating Brazilian exports at 50 million tons for the 22-23 growing season against 49 million tons in the United States. So we'll see.
Joanna, of course, is from Brazil. It may very well be, and USDA has set this expectation, that the primary exporter into the world market beginning this year will be Brazil rather than the U.S. Brazil is already the number one soybean exporter into the world market. Now, let's continue. Joanna outlines what is happening in Argentina.
We can see a completely different situation there. The crops have been hit by the worst drought the country has faced in the past 60 years. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange, in its report released last week, stated it plans to revise its soybeans crop estimate even lower than its current projection of 1.2 billion bushels. This would be the fourth time its crop estimate for this season is revised downwards on the back of worsening dry weather condition, lack of rainfall, and frosts in February. The report also indicated that 60% of the crop is now rated in poor condition in Argentina. The corn situation is very similar to soybeans in Argentina. Corn farmers are forecast to produce around 1.5 billion bushels for the season, compared to the 2.2 billion bushels estimated 6 months ago. The last estimates mean Argentina would produce 38% less soybeans and 30% less corn than initially forecast. But the forecast could be revised further downwards in coming weeks. Argentina is on the track to lose more than $20 billion this year due to agriculture losses caused by the bad weather conditions. We have been in La Niña for 3 years in a row since 2020. La Niña usually creates a hotter and dry summer in Argentina. However, there is a forecast of a transition from La Niña to neutral year starting now in March, but possible changes in weather conditions will not save this year's crop anymore in Argentina. And there is a forecast for El Niño in the second half of the year. That could be a good news for Argentina and southern Brazil, at least. Poor crop conditions coupled with a declining economy have led Argentina farmers to demand taxes and more favorable exchange rates for their exports in a huge protest last week. If you think that inflation is high here in the US, around 7%, imagine living in Argentina with an annual inflation near 100%. High inflation and worsening harvest expectations in Argentina are fueling what the economists call a recessionary environment. So I think that I have so far. I'm happy to take any questions you may have now or later. I will be here all day. Thank you so much for the attention.
Give Joanna a nice round. Thank you. Anybody got a question offhand about Brazil and or Argentina, South America? What I haven't quite understood is we use so much domestically and export not very much. However, Brazil, on the other hand, does not use nearly as much domestically. And I don't know whether we think that will change in the future, which would change things dramatically if that's the case. Do we have an idea?
Yeah. Brazil is increasing the use of the corn for ethanol. So you can see in the next year, Brazil using more corn in domestic market.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe it can change this scenario.
Yeah. So we'll see how things go. Yes, sir. So can you address the instability within the governmental situation in South America, whether that be Argentina and or Brazil, and how much impact that has?
I would say that agribusiness is independent. So when you talk especially corn and soybeans, I think at this moment, especially in Brazil, I don't believe that government will do some intervention or put some tax exports. In Argentina, it's completely different. Farmers in Argentina, they needed to pay for exports. They pay 33% to export soybeans. They pay 20% to export corn. And in this year, in October, Argentina will have general elections. So for sure in Argentina, the instability is create unstable situations for agriculture. In Brazil so far, I would say no.
I would say in part to answer that question, you can look to the Black Sea. It's a different kind of instability. But while we did have a huge issue last year and it drove the marketplace, they solved a lot of it, relatively speaking. They're still planting, they're still harvesting, and they still have an export market out of the Black Sea in the midst of a really tough war. A lot of money moving, a lot of money, and taxes get collected on all of that. So instability has short-term issues, but the market tends to fix it pretty quickly. Yes, sir. Something we should hold for Scott in the afternoon. I think we'll hold. The question was about a bit about renewable diesel and biomass-based diesel, and I think I want to hold that until the afternoon for Scott. Yes, Paul Cooley back in the back. Oh, Paul Cooley wants to know what the price of what do you know? Paul wants to know what the price of land in Argentina and Brazil might be and how that's changed.
Yes. I would say more in Brazil than Argentina, because Argentina today is not so attractive because this tax. I know some Argentinians that they are going to Bolivia or even though Brazil to plant, I mean, to try to have better conditions regarding politician. But in Brazil, for sure, in the last 3 years, the price of the farmland in Brazil almost doubled. If you think about the average now, maybe I should to bring this number in acres and dollars, not in hectares and real. For example, if you compare Paraná in the south of Brazil, that's very similar than Illinois and Indiana, the price doubled in the last 2 or 3 years. For to buy 1 hectare there cost around 100,000 reals. That means 20,000 reals. Gary will help me to convert to 5.
Well, it's $20,000 then. Yeah,
$20,000 for
2.5 acre, or yeah, 2.2 or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
That's about $7,500 to $8,000 an acre, roughly.
Yes,
did the math right on my calculator.
Yeah, of course, we have many regions in Brazil, very different the price. When you think about new agriculture frontiers in the northeast, Matopiba, Maranhão, Tocantins, Piauí, and Bahia is the name of the four states. The farmland, the price there is cheaper than in the south of Brazil, of course. But yes, we see a huge increase of the price of the farmland in the last 3 years in Brazil, more than double for sure.
Well, the price of the property, and that was in southern Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
He's suggesting that it's very well developed.
Yes, yeah. There. We have good.
Unlike some of the other areas that are still coming in.
Exactly. We have good infrastructure and storage in this region, the south of Brazil, compared to the northeast.
Yes, sir. You don't want to know what the capacity for growth in the next 10 years might be.
In corn or soybeans? Both?
Both.
In the last 20 years, Brazil increased on average per year, for example, in corn, 8% per year and 5% in soybeans. And different than here, Brazilians don't need to choose between to plant corn or soybeans. They can have the both cultures in the same year. So when you have soybeans, like at this moment in the center west, they harvest soybean today and they plant corn in the same day or in the day after. If you think just about the area that we have for soybeans today and it is able to plant corn, I would say that Brazil has potential to double its corn area in the next 10 years, at least.
One last question here. Yes, sir. You're not going to like the answer to that one either. Has Brazil struggled to get adequate supplies of fertilizer?
No. Actually, last year when the war in Ukraine started, there was this expectation that Brazil could have some troubles to get its fertilizers. But the reality, no, Brazil could buy the fertilizers. I think last year compared to 2021, the reduction was around 5 or 4%, but it because they bought more in the first half of the year. So, but in summary, Brazil didn't have any problems to buy its fertilizers. Just to remember, Brazil imports around 85% of its fertilizer needs. So Brazil has a huge dependence of the NPK, especially from Russia and Belarus.
Joanna Calusi is a postdoc student at the University of Illinois in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences Department of Agriculture and Consumer Economics. She works closely with Gary Schnittke, joined us at the All Day Ag Outlook to make a presentation as it relates to production of corn and soybeans in Brazil and Argentina. You've, of course, been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio. For the farming world, find us online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org.